The babies. What do you know about the babies? Have you heard the story of a famed French astronaut purportedly issuing a dire warning thought to be about ETs during her suicide attempt that made headlines this week? Now, check this out. It's nearly a decade old. The bizarre 2008 incident saw Claudie Hagner, who flew both to the Mir and the International Space Station, the ISS, to try to take her own life by overdosing on sleeping pills. Now, according to media reports at the time, she exclaimed to those who found her, she sits up and yells, "The Earth must be warned," and then fell into a coma. Check out the full story right now over at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, Ronnie LeBlanc. He's the author of Monsterland, Encounters with UFOs, Bigfoot, and Orange Orbs. The phone lines are jammed. We're taking your calls for the duration. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to Coast AM. And my guest for the second half of the show tonight has been author Ronnie LeBlanc, author of Monsterland, Encounters with UFOs, Bigfoot, and Orange Orbs. So, got Ronnie back here, and I haven't seen the phone lines lit quite like this in a while. So I'm gonna try to get through this. I'm gonna go top to bottom. Let's go to Wild One, Larry in Lowell, Massachusetts. There you go.
Cool.
Welcome to Coast, Larry.
Well, thank you very much. First time, long time.
There you go, Larry.
I started off with a hot bell, believe it or not, years ago.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Say hi to Ronnie.
Ronnie, how you doing? I'm a Lemister guy myself.
Ah, nice. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I can't believe the story you're telling about the Lemister Woods, the old trails back up in there. Back in the early 60s, I was out one day taking my dog for a walk. It was in the evening. It was getting a little dark. And same thing as you. I heard this thumping, this really heavy thumping through the bushes. I was in a heavy area, so he couldn't really see all that well. My dog, the hair on his neck, he was a shepherd, big shepherd. The hair on the back of his neck stood straight up, and he just stood there staring. And I could see his head moving a little bit with the movement in the trees. My dog barked a couple of times, and that thing took off. And it was like a herd of buffaloes. Incredible. But I never saw a thing.
Wow.
Yeah, same thing. Never saw a thing. I went down to the police station. I knew a couple of the cops. And I told them my story. And they said, they can't tell you how many times people have told us the same thing.
Larry, what's going on? Larry, what's going on in those woods?
You know, I couldn't possibly tell you. I've spoken with a number of people over the years. Not a clue. Really, not a clue.
How long is it? Well, Larry, let me jump in, and thank you for the phone call. Larry, how long has it been called Monsterland? It sounds like you've been in the area for quite a while.
Oh, since the late 50s, early 60s.
Wow. Wow.
They used to call it the UFO pickup area.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people would see those orbs.
Right.
How
about you? Have you seen any of the orbs or seen anything strange in the sky?
Yes, sir. I was going to try to say if you'd let me give a couple more minutes.
Wow.
Take your time, Larry.
Thank you. I was down by the reservoir with three of my best friends. Late night. Dark, pitch dark. You know, down there, pitch black.
Sure.
And across the reservoir, my buddy Bob says, "Hey, look at that light across the way, that big orange light." And it was cruising, sort of, we thought it was like a helicopter, you know, cruising along, then it would go up at an angle and come back down towards the woods. And it kept on doing that for a few minutes. And then it went off to the east and kind of disappeared in the trees. So we were skimming rocks and this and that. My buddy Bob says, "Hey, wouldn't it be something if that light came right over us?" Honest to God, I got no reason in the world to lie to you guys. This orange orb was huge. It had to be 40, 50 feet round. Come up from the east, right coming up over our head, And as it came at us, it had, 2 to 3 foot round circle, orange, or it's like a rotating orange light. You know, you're looking at it and it's going round, round, round.
Yeah, it's moving. Yeah.
It's moving. And then in the center was, you know what, like a metal halide light is? The big bright lights that light up parking lots.
Right.
Sure.
And football stadiums, things like that. Well, this thing, the whole center of this orb was lit like that, solid light, and it was a beam coming down towards us. Bright as you can possibly imagine. So my buddies take off the chicken, you know what. And I stood there watching it, and I'm looking at the trees, and you could see the shadow on the ground from the trees just moving along. Then I could see my shadow. When I saw my shadow, I chickened out too. I took off. I ran.
Well, I would have too. And Larry, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. There's something going on in the area. Lemonster and the forest there, way too many incidents and witnesses.
Oh, yeah. Bridgewater's famous for it too.
Yeah, Bridgewater, another favorite of mine. Thank you so much, Larry. Be safe out there.
Thank you, Larry.
First time, long time. I've been trying a long time to get to you guys.
Well, it
thank
was.
You,
it,
thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. It was meant to be. Now let's go out to West Coast. Thomas in La Jolla, California. Thomas, you're up next on Coast.
Thank you, Jimmy, for taking my call. And Ronnie LeBlanc, I look forward to ordering your book, Monsterland. You know what? I've done a lot of hiking on the West Coast, Canada, Mexico, and up in New England, and I guess I should carry a gun. I believe everything that you say, but I carry just a large knife when I hike. And I've always wondered, I know you're not an attorney, and I respect that, sir, but what are the legal issues if you shoot a Bigfoot? I know if you shoot it, you know, in the front, presumably it's self-defense, but if you shoot a Bigfoot in the back, this isn't a facetious question.
No, I get it.
Would that be considered? I mean, if the coroner determines that the Bigfoot is a hominid with semi-human DNA, are there legal issues here? I know it seems to be a jurisdiction by jurisdiction thing. Here in California, anomalous animals are protected by Fish and Game. You know, they just leave them unnamed. But it seems like in Oregon, I think there are some counties that even consider Bigfoot an endangered species.
Well, yeah, and Thomas, seriously, thank you for the phone call. And I think that the question is an important one, and I'll tell you why. If it isn't addressed with local law, you've got the paranormal and Bigfoot community to deal with, right? You don't want to be caught. You don't want to be the guy in the paranormal community that shot Bigfoot.
Right.
And I can guarantee that. I'm going to go to first time caller line. Let's go to Roy in Sacramento. You're up next here on Coast to Coast. Roy.
Hello there.
Okay. There you are.
There we are. I got a little crazy story for you. It's not crazy, but it's true. This last summer, I was managing an RV campground up in Lakehead, California.
Right.
And about midnight or something like that, I was out cleaning the pool. You know, you got that big, long pole.
Yeah, with the net on the end of it. What, you didn't encounter something, did you?
I hit the sailing fence about three different times, and within, say, like 30 seconds, and all of a sudden, you hear this ungodly guttural.
You heard him scream, but did you see anything, Roy?
No, I didn't. But it had to be close.
What did you do?
Ran over to the house and got me a machete.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
And
Did you hear any more screaming?
No, I didn't. But it screamed for like say a good 5 to 10 seconds.
Wow!
It was super loud and deep and just guttural. And I've been in the woods for quite a long time.
Right.
I know what the kitty cats sound like, and I know what the big bears sound like.
Exactly.
It was not that.
Thank you for the call, Roy. Ronnie, what about those screams up there in Monsterland? Any reports of that?
I have not heard of. There's definitely been like rocks thrown, vocalizations. I know there's one that was just up in New Hampshire. But we haven't had, I would love to get something like that, some audio of that in Monsterland.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, we're going to go back out east, back to your neck of the woods. Let's go to Mark in Baltimore, Maryland. Mark, welcome to Coast.
Hi, thanks for taking my telephone call.
You got it, Mark.
A couple things. In the early 90s, Ellen Crystal came out with a book called Pine Bush Sightings about orbs up in way up north in New Jersey.
Absolutely. Anyway, great book. Great book.
Went up there with my girlfriend. You know, we saw some orange orbs. No cameras. We couldn't prove a thing. Wrote to Ellen Crystal. Her address is in the book. We wrote to Ellen Crystal. She offered to go on a UFO hunt with us up there. We went with her up there. Didn't see anything, but it was a nice experience. Anyway, my question to you, Mr. LeBlanc, is this. Two questions. Well, actually, they're both rolled up into one. You told this story about this man sitting on his porch with a view of Monsterland, that he was seeing UFOs frequently. How long ago was that?
I think that it had gone on for a long time, that he would almost do it nightly. But
what era? What decade?
The 80s.
Yeah, in the 80s.
Okay. You know, it's okay. First of all, I believe in UFOs. I want to get that out in the open right now. All right? I've been reading books going all the way back to Donald Kehoe, and even before that. I'm older than the both of you, and I'm a two-time military veteran. So,
Wow. Anyways,
thank you. I go back a long, long ways. I've got all the old Kehoe books. My point is, there are certain people I believe and certain people I'm skeptical about. Certain stories I feel are just anecdotal. So my question is this. This guy who sat on his porch, and maybe the story you're going to tell about you and your daughter going out there, you and your daughters to go out there and see something, why don't people go out there with it, especially the guy sitting on his porch? If he saw UFOs so many times and he expected to see them, then why didn't at least one time he go out there with some recording equipment and get himself in the forefront of this thing and come out with some evidentiary material so, you know, this thing could be busted wide open?
The answer to that is ridicule. This gentleman didn't tell anybody about this. He told his best friend, and he told his best friend after maybe 15 years of this occurring, and told him later in his life what he was seeing and what he was encountering. That was the only person he ever told, and I heard it from that person's son. So this is, again, that seems
what about you and your book?
A lot of these
what about
stories.
You and your book? Since you have your book coming out, I mean, are there any photos in there besides trees? I mean, if I see a photo of a tree where you were at and you heard bushes rustling, to me, it's a photo of a tree.
Okay. Hey, Mark, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen anything strange in the sky?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How many pictures?
Like I said, without any evidence, I can't prove it. Who would believe me?
Well, Mark, I'm not trying to be argumentative. I don't want you to go there. What I'm asking you is, have you ever taken a picture of something strange you've seen in the sky?
No.
Okay, well, there you go. It happens all the time.
That's why I can't prove my stories, so I won't go out and say it. I won't come out until I have the evidence to prove it, because without the proof, who would believe my account?
Well, I get it, Mark. I get it. And thank you for the phone call. Be safe out there. Thank you so much. Let's go to Keel in Fullerton, California. Keel, welcome to Coast.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, Keel. How are you?
All right. Hey, I called you before about the orbs in the room with the dog in the cage looking up. I didn't never get to finish that story, but I wanted to mention about the UFOs. I never hear about it on the show, and I've been listening to you guys for a while.
Right.
The triangle UFOs, I got to see those up close and personal two times. And one of the major times was my buddy ended up waking me up. He was all like frantic and whatever. And it was like three houses over. We was in Norwalk, California at my grandma's house. And it had like five lights on the side. They were kind of dim, but they were making noise as if like you were turning off stadium lights.
Okay.
You know. And so when I went outside, I was being curious about it. I ended up trying to walk into the front of it. And when you walk, when I tried to see it from the front view, it completely was transparent. That happened. It happened twice. The second time I was in Rialto, California, off the 10 freeway. Just picked up my my girlfriend at the time when we was driving home. This one was probably it was like at least about a block big, and we drove off the freeway to go around to check, to park on the side to check it out. We couldn't see it. When we got back on the freeway, we could see it, but when we got off, we couldn't. I done seen quite a few ever since the first time I seen one. The one with my buddy. Like one morning I was taking my girl to work, and one was shining like, the sun was coming up. So it was shining like a diamond, a huge, 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 huge diamond. And when the sun came up, the diamond got smaller, and then it started flying. And I ended up running back into the garage. My crazy girl ended up staying out there, looking at it. And she was saying it was like two halos up under it, up under the UFO, the triangle shaped UFO. And I don't know.
Those are all great sightings and great experiences, Keel. I've got about 10 seconds for you. Did you have a question for Ronnie before we head to the break? I want to give Ronnie a chance to answer.
Okay. Have you heard any other person that says, when the triangle ones are stationary, are they transparent as well?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you so much, Keel. Be safe out there. Yeah, you got it. What do you, transparent triangles, Ronnie? Any reports of that?
That's one of the sightings that my daughters and myself have had. I was out in my backyard. We were kind of raking up leaves. This is probably like two summers ago, late summer. And one of my daughters, it was clear blue sky, not a cloud in the sky. She's like, whoa, what's that? And we all look up. And it looked like a flock of geese flying in a V. And so I was like, oh, cool, geese. And she's like, that looks weird. And we were watching it. And it looked like the addition sign, like a plus sign. And there was one in the center, almost like a boomerang, like three or four lights on each side. So almost like a two-sided triangle flying in a V.
Okay, I'm going to jump in. Ronnie, I'm going to jump in right there because we're going to hit this break. But this story needs to be finished. Everybody stay right there. Ronnie's going to tell you the second half right after this short break. I'm Yost Jimmy Church. It's Coast to Coast AM, and our guest tonight, Ronnie LeBlanc, author of Monsterland. I'll be right back to take more of your calls right after this. Stay with us. You can go and check out my show. It's called Fade to Black. Very simple. Just click on my name over on the Coast to Coast website, take you straight there. It's easy. Everything is on our site. There's a few cool points that I want to make. Number one, we are live 7 to 10 p.m. PST, right before George. So that gives you 7 hours of straight, great talk radio every single night live. Second, everything is free. Third, just like Coast, our standards are very, very high. We only have the very best and the brightest guests. And last, we're live Monday through Thursday, four nights a week. What could be better? Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. I update and hang out on social media every single day, and you will always stay connected. Our guest tonight, Ronnie LeBlanc. He is the author of Monsterland, Encounters with UFOs, Bigfoot, and Orange Orbs. More with Ronnie and your phone calls next. All right, welcome back. Our guest tonight, Ronnie LeBlanc. And Ronnie, right before the break, you were telling us about what you had witnessed in the backyard with your daughter. You know, it looked like a cross, translucent, some lights underneath it, and you saw it above. But that's not the crazy part. Well, that's certainly crazy enough. But what did your daughter say to you next?
So we see this thing fly by, and two military jets are following it not too far behind. My other daughter says, wow, that's the same thing we saw at the football field last week, but it was hovering. And I was like, what? And see, they said that the whole team was basically watching this flock of geese that's hovering in the sky. Well, the coach was like, come on, guys, let's get back to practice. Stop looking at those geese.
Right.
So they get back and they look, and then the thing's gone.
And it was translucent, right? You could see through it, but there was structure.
Yes, when I saw that thing flying, it looked quickly, after a few seconds, you realize that it was one craft. Initially, I thought it might be drones kind of flying together, but it seemed to be one craft. And those spots, those plus signs, would be where the lights would be, and the rest of the craft was, you know, translucent.
I'm going to go to the first-time caller line. This is Crady in Spokane, Washington, with the Washington law on shooting Bigfoot. Crady, what do you got?
Well, in the state of Washington, if you shoot a Bigfoot, no matter what, how it happened or whatever, if you shoot a Bigfoot, you get 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. Now, that could have changed, and this is a law that's been on the books for quite a few years, but they're pretty serious about leaving them alone, mainly because so many people in Washington state have seen them.
Right, right. That's very interesting, Crady, and thank you for breaking through the phone lines here, which is nearly impossible to do. Let's go all the way out on the East Coast. Lee in Millport, New York. Lee, welcome to Coast.
Hey, good morning, Jim and Ryan.
Morning.
We, it had to have been in the late 80s, maybe 1990. We had a rainbow gathering up in the Hucker Land Use area in Schuyler County in New York. And there was hundreds of people there. Like, we had drum rolls and everything, and people were camping. And it was a worldwide convention type thing. There was people stationed all around the world trying to communicate with the outer universe.
You need to turn me down in the background, Lee.
Okay.
Yeah, you're listening to yourself. Okay, really quick.
And we were trying to make contact with the outer universe. And we were there for days and days and days. And we finally had it was one morning, and there was three UFOs come in, and they hovered over this one tree. There was one guy, he was all the way out in one field all by himself, and they come right in over top of that tree. And the one UFO come right down by the top of the tree, and the other two kind of set up a little bit. And the guy come out, he was like going, what's going on? And it seemed like they were communicating. Everybody else was standing back looking, wondering what was going on. Then all of a sudden, just as fast as they came in, they were gone.
Wow. And it sounds like you guys actually called them in, too, because that's what the Rainbow Festival is all about. Great, great experience there. Let's go to Ben in Manchester, New Hampshire. Ben, welcome to Coast.
Well, hey, Jim. It's good to hear. Good to hear you. This is off the track of the paranormal. It's more of like the Knights Templar and all this. Your guest is from New England, I'm taking it. He's from that area originally. And even, you know, if he's done any studies around there. In Westford, Massachusetts, there's a big rock. I think it's called the Westford Rock. It has something to do with maybe a triangulated pattern where maybe some of the knights you know, found these. Has he ever heard of that? And more details on that. It's out of his realm of, you know, expertise. He's tracking the paranormal in the Lemonster Woods. And
yeah, I get that, Ben. And Ben, I'm going to have to let you go. We'll let him answer the question. But there's a beeping that's going on really loud in your phone line. Go ahead, Ronnie. What do you think about a Knights Templar connection?
Yeah, there is the Westford Knights, which I have read about, and I haven't checked out the site, and that's the next, I think, phase here for me is looking at all these other similar sites within Massachusetts a little bit more deeply, and that is an interesting area as well, for sure.
Let's go to, we're going to go back out west here. Let's go to Andrew right here in West Covina, California. Andrew, you're up next.
Thank you, Jimmy, for taking my phone call.
What have you got for Ronnie?
Okay, yeah. I have a question. I mean, I don't even know if this falls in this area, but I've always been fascinated by history and the ancient pyramids. And what really puzzled me was how perfect they were designed and how heavy they were, each block was, as they were being built. Now, my question is, do you think an outside influence, like somebody from or some civilization and a UFO came down and helped the Egyptians? Because let's face it, those blocks were enormous.
Yeah, Andrew, I don't know. And thank you for the phone call. I don't know about Ronnie's expertise in this area, but there's a couple of things I want to say. Number one, yes, absolutely. The knowledge, the technology, that information, that help definitely came from somewhere, and that's for sure. But this is what's really crazy. America's Stonehenge is right out there near Ronnie. What do you make of that, Ronnie? America's Stonehenge and the UFO Bigfoot connection that is right there.
Yeah, that's, again, from researching the book. I had not even heard of it before, America's Stonehenge, and I went up to Salem, New Hampshire, which is about an hour drive north from Lemonster, and checked out for the day, different stone chambers. Now, it's rumored that it's back in the 70s, there was a table, the sacrificial table that was discovered in Lemonster off of Granite Street, where those Bigfoot tracks were found. And it's very similar to what is up at Mystery Hill, which they have. And so this particular table, which some believe was just an apple press and things like that, is sitting out front of the Lemonster Historical Society downtown. But there was also another rock, a huge boulder that had inscriptions like Phoenician writing, similar to the Dighton Rock in Massachusetts. That disappeared, from my understanding, has not resurfaced. And it had to be moved with heavy machinery. It was supposedly 600-800 pounds. So there's that connection to Mystery Hill. There was also researchers believing that Lemonster could possibly be an outpost similar to and connected to America's Stonehenge an hour north.
Let's try to get in a couple of more calls really quick before we run out of time. Let's go to Matthew in Lexington, North Carolina. Matthew, you're up next.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
There you go.
My question is, and I've always been a skeptic until this happened, what does a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot sound like? Because a couple of years ago, I went camping outside of Asheboro, North Carolina, with my son and the Scouts, which is part of the Uwharrie Forest. In the wee hours of the morning, I heard this god-awful howling or screams. It sounded like an elk, but to my knowledge, we don't have elk in that part of North Carolina. And I'll take my answer off there. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew. Ronnie, you haven't heard anything yourself, have you?
I haven't, but the audio that I have heard of, you know, Sasquatch screaming is something that you just, you know, people that know the woods and hunters say it's like unlike anything they've ever heard before. They've also been able to mimic birds and other animal sounds, but it's something that when you do hear it, it shakes through your body, from my understanding, and it's something that you'll never forget.
Let's go to first-time caller line, Kathy in Santa Cruz, California. Kathy, welcome to Coast. Kathy, 3, 2, 1. All right, let's go to wild card. Stefan in Los Angeles. Stefan, welcome to Coast.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, Stefan. What do you got for Ronnie?
So I actually witnessed a UFO in the sense of an the pretense of it, an unidentified flying object. So I don't know. It could have been a military flying object. It could have been a UFO. But I was actually on my way to Coachella.
Okay.
I live in Los Angeles. So I was heading on the 10. And as I'm going through the 10, I'm just jamming out my car on my way there, middle of the night. And then all of a sudden there's a object in the sky crossing the freeway. But this is the thing that's pretty interesting, is that most people will recall like a UFO to be cylindrical or, kind of like in a sphere or something like that. This object, in my opinion of what I saw, it looked similar to like, a stealth bomber.
Okay.
But it was kind of like a stealth bomber with the nose in also on the rear end, so it was kind of like in a diamond shape.
Gotcha.
And as it was crossing the freeway, you could kind of see it initially, but as like almost like a black object that's angulated, but as it crossed, it created like that, I don't know what to call it, like that predator from like the 90s, like that,
like a haze, kinda.
Like that stealth mode where it projects the rear of it in front of it.
Yeah. Totally got you.
Right, and as it crossed, it did like these three different phases to actually vanish, like completely vanish.
You know what?
And so basically, by the time it was on one side of the freeway, I could see it, but by the time it reached the other side of the freeway, it had completely vanished.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that sighting, Stefan? Ronnie, did you hear what he said about the diamond shape?
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't that sound similar to what you saw out there in Massachusetts with your daughter?
It does. It's very interesting.
Yes.
And again, just the ability for these things to kind of go invisible is maybe why we're not able to see them all the time. They're there and they're unseen.
Yeah, there you go. Stefan, thank you for the phone call, and very, very interesting. Right here in Los Angeles, too. Thank you, Stefan. Be safe out there. Okay, I'm going to try Kathy in Santa Cruz one more time. Kathy, welcome to Coast.
Thank you very much. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm calling the year that Hale-Bopp was visible in the sky. It was 95 or 6, I believe.
Right.
I was out near Highway 152, which goes from Santa Cruz over into Gilroy, on a farm. So we were out there alone, not a lot of houses. And we're real close to the Lockheed Hills, which is part of 152. And then across 152 was nurseries. And we were seeing then white orbs and orange ones come up from the hills of Lockheed, always three at a time. One was low, and then as it got higher, another would come up out of the hills. And then another one, and they would move across the sky and then go back down as three more were coming up. And they were coming out of those hills of Lockheed and up out of those nurseries out there on 152. So that was pretty interesting.
How big were they, Kathy?
They were pretty, you know, they were in the sky. So I don't know really what to say about how big they were, as big as a tire on a car.
Right. Could have been caused by garlic, Kathy.
Oh, really?
You're supposed to laugh. It's Gilroy. Get it?
We weren't quite Gilroy, but I agree.
Thank you. Thank you for the phone call, Kathy.
You're
and
welcome. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Now, what's up next for you, Ronnie?
We are starting to put together a documentary is the plan about the area, and working with collaborating with some different researchers, which we'll be announcing soon. And then I'm starting to work on another book as well. And I'm also basically focusing on the next level of this, which seems to be with consciousness. Shamanism seems to be an element as well. So I'm doing my research now and starting to write my second book.
Where can everybody go and find Monsterland?
You can find it on Amazon. You can find it Barnes & Noble. You can go to ronnieleblanc.com. And love to hear anyone's stories that are from Massachusetts, New England, and all over the country. I love to hear these stories that just kind of reaffirm what I've been discovering just in my backyard.
And what's interesting for me, and I want to thank you for sharing everything, but you're such a historian on the area. And if you can share with us one thing about the book that you just did not know about the history of the area that just freaked you out.
I think the connection to Mystery Hill, which is still at the early stages, is really fascinating because Leominster is also part of the Underground Railroad.
Right.
And different ghost hunting shows have been to Leominster as well. So that piece is really has, because it has such a deep history, and a lot of the stone chambers, there's over 200 within New England that have been discovered. We still don't know who made these things. We're told that they were there even before the Native Americans. So that's the fascinating piece of history that Leominster is a part of that I'm digging deeper into.
Thank you so much, Ronnie. Be safe out there, and good luck with the documentary and book two. Thank you so much. Be safe. All right. You know, this is the thing, everybody. We had a great weekend here on Coast. Great calls. Great information. That's what late night talk radio is all about. This is what I grew up on. I love it, and I love hanging out with all of you. It has been a great couple of days. Great show again tonight. I would like to thank Ira Pastor, of course, Ronnie LeBlanc, all of the callers who phoned home again tonight. You are all the best. And of course, I got to thank Nathan. I got to thank Donna behind the glass. And of course, Chris, Lisa, Stephanie, Sean, Lex, George, and Tom, and Rita. This is Jimmy Church signing off and concluding another Coast to Coast AM. Go Beckley Tepe.